Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 13 of season 6. This one is called Aquiel. It was directed by Cliff Bohl. Teleplay goes to Brandon Braga and Ronald D. Moore. Story goes to Jerry Taylor. It aired back on February 1st, 1993. In this one, the crew of the Enterprise investigates a mysterious death on a remote station, and Commander LaForge falls for the main suspect. Modi Operandis is here to talk about this one, so right after this, me and Modi are going to go deep on Aquiel.
We were running a level 2 diagnostic of the message buffer. Nothing special. Rocha had been on edge all morning, but he'd been irritable ever since he got there, so I didn't think anything of it. We were halfway through the procedure when suddenly he attacked me. He grabbed me, threw me against a bulkhead. I yelled at him to stop, but he wouldn't listen. He took me by the throat. I broke free and tried to get to the weapons locker. I'm not sure what happened next, but somehow I got aboard the shuttle and left.
We found her on our side of the border, heading towards Sector 2520. She is lucky my patrol ship did not destroy her vessel on sight.
So we're gonna talk about Aquiel right now. I guess I'll start this one off by saying I don't think my esteem for an episode has fallen off quite as quickly as it does in this episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, it takes a weird turn. Very, very sharp weird turn at one point where it's like, this is an interesting episode. And then it really just falls off, like you said.
I think the central mystery is like really like has a lot of potential to it.
Yeah. And no, the murder mystery, it totally works. Yeah.
Instead, they're like, you know what? This should be a weird Geordi romance story. And it's like, no. Every scene that they have, I'm just like, can we get back to the murder mystery? Like, is that a possible thing to happen? The only other thing that surprised me was that Reg E. Caffey, I think that's how you pronounce his name, is the Klingon in this episode, which is insane. He is Lester from The Wire, for people who are unfamiliar.
Holy cow, I need to go watch this episode again.
It might change your opinion of the episode.
It changes everything.
So what I'm going to do here is, why don't you tell me, I'm going to look something up, why don't you tell me what you thought about this, like in sort of broad terms?
Broad strokes. Okay, yeah. So this episode, I, like you said, it's got a lot of intrigue that's interesting. But Geordi, I don't know if I feel bad for him or what, but he just seems to have a type of woman that he can't actually, like, interact with, that he falls in love with. Like, holodeck woman, and then has, like, this projected version of her,
yep,
that when he actually meets her, it's not what he expected, and then it's like the exact same thing here. So he certainly has a type.
Yeah,
it's basically projecting whatever he wants to on these women that he's falling in love with constantly before he meets them.
Right. Yeah. This one seems a little bit more manipulative. Although I will argue that one of the problems I think with this episode is that in trying to make it a murder mystery, they threw in so many red herrings that eventually the story stops making sense at a certain point. Is Aquiel supposed to be a good person? There's so much evidence uncovered that she's a bad person. Riker's like, she disobeyed orders or something, or her commanding officer said she was difficult. She's doing something sinister with that crystal, another crystal type.
Yeah, crystal people. What is going on with people trusting crystal rituals? And everybody's also, all races are empaths, apparently, except humans.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, last like 4 episodes I've been in, there's been an empath of some kind.
Yeah, you have a lot of Troy, obviously, but yeah,
not even discounting her, there's still a lot of empaths going on.
There really are. So I think that's kind of my problem, is that like eventually they start throwing in so many like, trying to misdirect the audience as to what's going on, that the story just doesn't make a lot of sense when it's all said and done. It's like,
yeah, it doesn't. And had they like committed to one of those, I mean, they know how it's going to end up, I guess, obviously at the end, but yeah, like you said, they keep throwing in little things that make you doubt her. They make you doubt the Klingon. They make you doubt everybody.
Yeah.
Until you don't trust anybody anymore.
Right.
And then it just doesn't pay off because the ending is so ridiculous.
Yeah, the ending is really... I think they should have made Aquiel the killer. Apparently that was...
Or at least something. Like, she's manipulating Geordi somehow. Like, she seems like she's, like, not on the level, like, whenever Riker's talking about her.
Yeah.
But when you're in these scenes with Geordi, it's like, oh, everything's fine. And had they committed to something there and actually made her be duplicitous or made her something that she's shown as manipulative, because she doesn't have, like they don't paint her in like black and white. They like put her in these gray areas of she doesn't get along with anybody apparently, and that's her problem, is that that's why no one likes her, because she doesn't get along with anybody. And this Keith Rocha might have been a jerk, but he may just have been. She might just be difficult. Who knows?
Right?
You never know.
Yeah, I also feel she kind of wavers. Like, I think she's supposed to be like quirky and kind of offbeat, but I don't think the actress really pulls that off.
Doesn't sell it. No.
So what you're stuck with is a person who's doing all these like suspicious activities, and then in the end is just perfectly scot-free of any kind of problem that she might have potentially had. And I agree that she should have at least had some kind of ulterior motive as to why she was covering up what happened on that station.
Right, the whole like, oh, I don't remember thing. It's like, oh, that's really convenient, you don't remember. It's like, what kind of Riker's attitude towards it?
Yes.
But like, if you just did something more interesting with that than amnesia, like, just say, like, hey, give her a reason she'd be lying or something like that. Like, give her a reason. Like, maybe she did get the gun, and she thinks she did kill him.
Yes.
Like, that would be more interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Because as it stands now, she literally just can't remember being attacked by a guy and getting a face. Like, for no reason, she can't remember this story that she went through.
And she's not convinced she did anything wrong. And Geordi's not convinced she, like, immediately trusts her constantly.
Yeah,
even though there's mounting evidence against her. He always trusts her, and he's like, we're going to get through this, baby. Don't worry.
this is a terrible episode for Geordi. He comes off really, really pathetic. In a weird way where the rest of the crew is very suspicious, which is not at all how the crew works. And in this episode, they're just immediately suspicious, except for Geordi, who buys the story. It's not even that he buys it. He's actually right. That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah, no, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on here. There's the whole vlog angle of it, of proto vlogs of this woman sending messages to her sister. I guess, like, I thought there would be something at least a little more interesting going on here. Like, maybe she's got a twin sister and we don't know it's a twin because we never see the sister, and this is who we're actually meeting here. Like, that would be way more interesting too.
I think
something besides this gloop alien.
The gloop alien, yeah, which that was terrible. I thought the first act here was really strong. I thought it was, even though it kind of reminded me of like point and click adventure on PC in the early 90s, sort of, where it's just like you watch a person talk to you for a little bit.
It's that game Her Story that came out where it's all interviews that you're seeing, only it's one side of the interview kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, Myst would be the same because you get the pages for the book and the brothers in the book start talking to you.
So. FMV, yeah.
So it felt very similar to that, and while it wasn't the most exciting thing, I was at least like, all right, Geordi's going to... I didn't really remember this one, and I was like, Geordi's going to get involved and, like, analyze these logs, and he's going to get to the bottom of a story. It also struck me as funny that in the future, the only way they can absorb log knowledge is by actually watching the logs.
Like, yeah, there's no, like, transcripts you can get.
Right, you can't just run through.
He gets transcripts for the other guy. The other guy's not doing vlogs, apparently, though. It's like, oh, I need the transcripts from this guy's communications. He's not doing vlogs. And even Picard is doing audio recordings when he's doing his captain's log, apparently, unless it's just getting dictation.
Right.
It's just weird.
So she's leaving these seeming slightly unhinged, although she is alone with one other person, so maybe you could get around that. Like, they're out apparently in the middle of nowhere with just one other person. So they leave these logs, and Geordi starts watching it. He has a really terrible scene where Riker asks him what she's like, and he gets like all like lovey dovey about it.
He's very romantic about it. Yeah,
and Riker, I'm a little embarrassed for Riker that Riker seems so supportive of what was going on for a little bit, even though he does have the great scene in the middle where he's like, "Listen, as a friend, you need to fucking pull your shit together here."
Yeah, I like that scene actually. That was a good thing actually.
That was cool.
I'm trying to figure out what the point of the vlogs was. I mean, it's to give us. Like, to make us like her is the idea I would imagine behind them. But it also, like you say, it makes her, it paints her in this little unhinged thing where she's talking about this dream.
Yes.
And all this, like, this stuff that doesn't matter. Like, oh, I was in the, it was the room again, and I saw my mother, and it was the room full of doors again. And, like,
and it sounds
terrifying. This isn't coming back around, is it?
Right, yeah. And it sounds like that's going to lead us on, and it sounds terrifying as hell.
Yeah.
But it's really just to kill time. Because
right, filler, yeah.
She eventually comes back, clearly. Like, she...
Right.
The Klingons capture her. She has somehow escaped in a shuttlecraft and gotten away. She doesn't remember why. Reggie Cathy, the Klingon, captures her and brings her back. And at that point, I do enjoy the first scene where they bring her back and reveal her. And the Klingons are, you know, answering the questions or whatever. And they have sort of... There's a mystery about what happened to her. I really like that scene. I think it works out pretty well. It's everything after that. It starts to really fall apart pretty drastically. What did you think of the use of Klingons as the other race? Did you think that worked?
Well, I did up to a certain point, because I liked that they had the disruptor angle of it, because it's like, oh, yeah, it could be a disruptor that causes this. Like, it's something we've never seen before.
Yeah.
And I liked that they had... I don't know if they wrote it backwards. Like, they started, like, we need something that's going to make it seem different so that it couldn't be a phaser. Like, okay, we'll make it Klingons. And then they write the Klingons into it. I don't know how they came to that exactly.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind the... I actually thought it was pretty interesting that the... God, I'm going to remember his name here. The ranking Klingon officer is actually pretty damn reasonable. He's the most reasonable Klingon in the galaxy, it seems like.
That's why I kind of questioned it. I felt that for Klingons, he gave in very easily to everything that Picard wanted to do. And so
they
I
just
was,
got lucky with the most diplomatic Klingon
right.
ever.
Well, he kind of embarrasses him earlier by saying he has the great scene about Gowron. He's going to, like, contact Gowron directly. And that's this episode, right?
At least, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That happens in this one. Yeah, so... Like, there's a little bit of playing off of that angle, but at the same time, I felt they could have gone with, like, an anonymous species that we had never seen before, just to... I guess we're supposed to believe the Gowron thing is enough to motivate him. It felt to me like the Klingons gave in very easily, especially when the guy's clearly lying and he's like, tell the truth, and he just goes, yeah, you're right, I actually broke in and I looked up the logs and everything like that. It felt a little bit weird.
I mean, yeah, I guess Picard is, like, a well-known quantity with the Klingons.
Yes.
Is at this point. So, I mean, it this being this late in the series, it doesn't strike me as that weird that he could just be like, you know what, I'll go talk to Gowron, we're good buds.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't bother me that much.
Yeah.
But just the fact that, like you said, he did acquiesce a little bit too easily once he said that. And
yeah, right.
There was, like, no conflict whatsoever. He never took his own person's side over it ever again after that scene.
No, and
he never defended him again. Like, I don't trust you.
The Klingons didn't have anything to do after that. Yeah. They were really just there for, like, I feel in a better written script, they would have had something to do with it or something. Like, they would have kept being involved in what the storyline was going on.
They could have done so much more with this episode, man.
They really could have. Apparently, so I'll read a little bit of stuff for you that you can fire back at me. Apparently, it's based on a 1944 film called Laura, which I've never seen. It's a detective investigating the murder of a woman named Laura, falls in love with her, only to discover that she is alive and may herself be the killer.
Okay,
so
that's an interesting premise, and that's a good premise.
That's the premise that the show should have wanted to do. I guess originally she was supposed to be the killer, but the show thought it was too similar to Basic Instinct at the time, which I don't really care. Like, that's a better storyline than... Well, I guess we should talk about the dog and how this all wraps up, right? Because...
God, yes, please.
So my notes here, I'm just going to read the last... My page of notes here started off very detail-oriented. I have, like, thoughts that are actually in a sentence form. My last things are, Jesus, this Geordi stuff is terrible. Is Geordi an idiot? Is the dog too obvious? What a terrible resolution. So, do you think that they pushed the dog too hard in this?
Yes. The dog was, like, the dog also was... too lovable. Like,
yeah, right.
The whole
yeah.
thing with this is that the person... when Rocha returned, he was obviously, like, inhabited by this goop guy.
Yep.
and it was controlling him and making him act erratically once he started being able to not hold his form anymore.
Well, it's no longer that person. It's like this thing in that form. Yeah, right.
So, I mean, the dog isn't acting off. Like, a dog, there's nothing wrong with the dog. The dog's just, like, doing the stuff that dogs seem to always do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even Aquiel is not even bothered by the dog. Like, had the dog seemed off to her when she met it, then, like, because this dog she's never met before, technically.
Yeah, that's
And this
true.
Dog, I mean, this dog has met her, technically, because it was the goop creature. But it's just odd that, I don't know, I thought they were going someplace else. I mean, I fully forgot about this episode, too, so I thought they were going someplace else with this completely.
Yes.
And my mind was way more interesting than what actually happened.
No, it's really sad. I was just thinking that the story of the two of those lieutenants on this space station is actually of itself a very good plot. Like, if you are only those two on this isolated station and one of them is the alien, you know, like something's very weird about that person, that's a little bit creepy. I'm kind of giving myself goosebumps now just thinking about, like, how you could actually make that into, like, a little standalone short film or something.
Yeah.
Instead, it's just, so what happens is this woman is working with this guy named Roka, who is a great guy, but she doesn't get along with him because he's been taken over by an alien that apparently makes you ill-tempered. He attacks her. She gets away. The guy attacks the dog in the meantime, becomes the dog. And then the dog is rescued by the Enterprise and lives in the ship with the Enterprise in Geordi's room, apparently. But the dog is not ill-tempered whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, is they never got along, Rocha and Aquiel, but did that happen? Did they start not getting along after the, you know, possession of the thing happened?
She never met him as a non-possessed creature.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
It is.
It's very strange.
Yeah. Yeah. It's...
They could do so much more with this. Like,
they could.
So you have two people stuck in a thing together going like, you can do like a psychological, like, cabin fever kind of thing.
Yep.
Of like, you can't tell if you both are going crazy or something that actually is going on.
Yep.
And then you can have one person possessed by this thing that's actually making it erratic, that's making it seem like you're going crazy yourself.
Right.
And you're not because it's something else going on. That would be more interesting to me, too. Like you said, that would work as a short film.
They'd have to
based in this universe.
They'd have to tie it into the show, right? So, but I could see them doing that by him exploring the logs. Like, if the logs were the only thing that were left, you could explore this whole is who's going crazy, like what's happening, and then you somehow tie it into the cast. But they don't do anything like that. They bring Aquiel, and I guess apparently this was supposed to be the start of a long-term serial relationship for Geordi on the show.
Huh. Okay. Because they do leave it pretty open at the end there.
They do. They leave it shockingly open to the point where it's surprising she doesn't return. But they were upset, or not upset, but they were trying to replace the O'Brien dynamic because the O'Briens are no longer on the show.
Okay.
And it just doesn't really work. So what do you think the point of the stone, the empathy stone, the telepathy stones, or whatever the hell that was.
You know, given that we just had a couple episodes ago a similar stone ritual where a thing happens when you hold it with the person, it probably just seems like another red herring that they're trying to throw at us.
Yeah.
But given that we are likely familiar with the show at this point.
It felt terrible. Yeah, it's a total red herring, but it also... It's a shitty red herring because there's no reason for this woman to be doing this.
Right. Because, like, yeah, just like, I am wanted for murder under suspicion for that murder but people I know just died and I'm on the run. But let's, like, take our, like, sex to the next level while we're at it, though. Because that was good earlier. This is going to be really good. And I'm in the mood. Killing people gets me in the mood for this.
There's a lot of implied sex in this one. I also think there's a scene towards the end when Riker is talking to Geordi, and Geordi's laying on the bed with the dog. And I don't think they should ever film anyone laying on a bed like that. It's just, it's inappropriate. I don't need to see these guys lounging around like that. It made me feel... It's just it's not natural to, like, film somebody sort of laying on a bed.
The angles end up wrong. It does not work as well as people think it does. No, in the real world, it does, but, like, the angles in filming do not work.
Yeah,
right.
It's just, it looks like he's just, like, uncomfortably and paunchy, just, like, sitting on the bed like that. But yeah, it's now that I'm thinking about it, it kind of reminds me a little bit of how remember in Cupid how we weren't sure if Vash was playing Picard or if she actually cares for him.
Yeah.
I get the same problem. I get the same feeling here, although it works better in Cupid because you're not supposed to know what's going on. Sort of like it's not real. It's in character of Vash to be sort of duplicitous.
Right.
This character is played 100% duplicitous, and it ends up not amounting to anything, which is so. It's bad writing because they're only doing it to try to confuse the audience, and there's no reason why it would exist outside of that.
And Geordi's not at all conflicted about it.
Right.
Like, if he had doubts himself that we, the audience, were also experiencing, then that would be more interesting.
Yes.
But the fact that we're watching this character who we don't trust, and we have a character that trusts them completely, it paints Geordi as an idiot then.
Yes, especially because the whole crew
and everyone else is against you, and you're the one person standing for this person that even the audience does not trust.
Right.
And so you don't come off very well in this, Mr. LaForge. You do not come off very well.
No, it doesn't. It's such a up in the air thing. Yeah. So the dog. I mean, we also need to talk about the resolution, because the resolution, while it's a plot twist, is so anticlimactic and stupid. Like, it's also kind of problematic because I think you could write the ending of this show as no one believing what Geordi says, because they're like, you're trying to defend the woman that you're in love with, so you nuked the dog with a phaser. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's
no crime.
he has no proof or no evidence of anything that he's done. Like, you needed another cast member to show up and see the thing.
Yeah, it's just a story he tells now.
It's just a story.
It was the goop thing.
We know there's no cameras on the Enterprise because they've never shown that before. So he dives on the floor and fires a phaser at this horribly CGI'd blob, and he nukes it, and that's the end of the story.
There's a moment where this show has some promise where, like, they ask the computer location of Aquiel, and they're like, Aquiel is not on board. I'm like, now it's going down. See, she's not actually there.
Right.
And, like, then she's off ship. She's at the other place.
Yeah,
like, that's not interesting at all now. He's like, you nobody thought to ask if she's on board. The computer's telling you the answer. You guys just never asked the computer. But it turns out it's not interesting at all.
Yeah, I think now that I'm sort of narrowing my vision, I think the episode all goes downhill when they identify the coalescent organism. You know?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, okay, yeah, we figured it out now.
Right, and I don't know if like...
This thing we've never heard of before, or since.
Yeah, or since, or like, oh, here, or it just pops in magically when the resolution needs it. I wouldn't mind if the plot kept her, or kept that organism in it. It just, it needed to amplify that mystery a little bit. Like, I think it was such a shitty decision to make the dog be the being. It's just like, so you feel like everything
it's
you've
too
watched
easy.
Yeah, it's too easy. It's just pointless to have gone through all that.
Yeah, and now we feel like we're just betrayed by the show. plus the image of that dog, like, morphing is just seared in my brain forever, and I can't unsee it.
It's got that it's just
the dog stretch face. It's oh god, I can't unsee it now. I close my eyes, that's all I see.
It's when you like draw a face on a balloon and then increasingly blow the balloon up.
Yeah.
It's just exactly what that was. It also, they shot it in a way that they needed as much room around the dog, so the dog is just sitting in the middle of an open space, and then they blow it out like that. It's just terrible. So let me read you some...
Seriously, green screen,
some feedback here. What the hell is it? Oh, Mara, the dog, was played by Friday, a terrier mix. That's kind of interesting. Where the hell is it? Oh, several production staff members were disappointed with this episode, considering it to be the weakest of the generally good sixth season. Interesting. I think I kind of disagree with that, but I might just be enamored enough with the mystery that I don't care. In the companion to Next Generation, Jerry Taylor said that she felt Renee Jones was not suited to the nature of the series, and that she and the chemistry between her and LeVar Burton never clicked. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think their chemistry was at all good. I think she was okay, actually, as the character, but I don't think that their chemistry was good.
Geordi had better chemistry with the dog.
That's true. That's actually true.
I think he also called the dog every single pet name. Like, he's like, Pooch, Buddy.
Pooch. Oh, it's your Pooch. Yeah, they said Pooch like four times in the opening, in the cold open.
Come on, Pooch, what are you doing in there, Pooch? And no one says Pooch, Geordi. When asked what he would have done differently in his time on Star Trek, Ron Moore stated that he would not have written Aquiel.
That could.
I feel people... I don't think this is a very good episode at all, but it's... I don't think it's catastrophically bad to the point where nothing works. It feels more like it's a huge disappointment than anything. Yeah. You know? Yeah,
it's... I don't know. It's like the kind of... like good bad. I feel like it's the kind of it's bad enough to be enjoyable to watch kind of thing, like, because it fires as far as like it tries to trigger everything it can as far as a viewer is going to recognize as tropes for the show.
Yeah,
and that's what it's playing upon. It's playing upon prior tropes of the crystal that, you know, takes control of body, of the, you know, Klingon that's hiding something, the duplicitous woman that randomly shows up, and all this stuff, like all these tropes that we've seen before, and it plays upon all of them at once because it's assuming that we're familiar with the show, I think, at this point.
I agree with that. So before we go to final thoughts, let's wrap it up with one sort of discussion here. The show seems incapable of doing relationships at this point, right? Like it's just not, it is not within this show's capability to do a relationship episode that feels like it's anything realistic. Why do you think that is?
The only good ones I can think of are the later with the Troy and the Worf stuff is not bad.
Yeah,
like when it's in the alternate reality. But I don't think there's any. Yeah, I mean, even like O'Brien and their relationship is sometimes just kind of weird. And they're the closest thing we have to a normal couple on the show. And it always feels weird. I don't know if it's her acting, probably. But
no, theirs feels weird because it's like you don't spend a lot of time with the O'Briens. So when you see them, they're having arguments that nobody who's been married is still like. They had that one episode, I think it was The Wounded, where they're like, made him food. And he's like, you know, I don't like this food. And she's like, I didn't know you don't like that food. It's like, what are you talking about? Like,
you've been married for like 5 years.
They've been married for years. And they're having this argument about whether or not, like, he likes the food. And also, they replicate the food. So who gives a fuck? Go replicate.
Throw it out. Make some more. Yeah.
It's very, very silly. I think it's
a combination.
Why would
you cook anything?
Oh, I think it's a combination of, I think the writers were young and single. You know, unsurprisingly, for the sci-fi show, but I think that
stereotyping.
I think that I never get the sense like they know what an actual relationship is like, and I don't know if it's because the show limits them in that regard. It feels like a combination of everything. It feels like the writing is a little bit off. It feels like the show can't support it, and it feels like it doesn't make a lot of sense for the characters whenever they get into relationships.
Yeah, I would agree, and they try almost too often with it, I think.
Yes.
To shoehorn relationships in. But every single time, it's like Troy in a relationship that seems really gross, or Crusher in a relationship that seems really gross.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, the weird O'Briens. There's the weird. I mean, Picard and Crusher that's actually a little bit better because it's kind of this, like, what do you say, unrequited kind of thing?
Yeah, well, it's almost better. Too subtle. Like, I'd say
nicely subtle.
Yeah, I'd say Vash is almost the more.
Not bad either.
Yeah,
I like that relationship too. And that's as close as they get is Vash probably.
And Riker's like,
seems gross all the time.
He does, but he's almost a parody of a relationship. Like, it's not realistic. Like, he's just kind of they've stopped doing it, but he's no longer just sort of obsessed with any woman that comes on the show. Take me to Holodeck 5 or whatever he says. He's just had a better time there. Cool. Well, I think we've talked about Aquiel, which I think is a real disappointment of an episode, in my opinion. It has such potential. But let's go to final thoughts. We're going to take a break, play an audio clip. Me and Mo to come back. We're going to give our final thoughts and ratings for Aquiel.
We found this Type 2 phaser in your shuttlecraft. It was taken from the weapons locker on the station.
I told you, I don't remember what happened. Maybe I did make it to the weapons locker.
It was set to level 10. Standard procedure requires that all phasers are set in level 1 when they're put in storage.
That means that somebody deliberately changed the setting. And then there's the matter of your conflict with Lieutenant Rocha.
Rocha and I had our disagreements, but that does not mean I would kill him.
Have you been able to remember anything that happened after he attacked you?
No. Nothing. I suppose maybe in self-defense, I...
Dr. Crusher tells me that in order to inflict the type of molecular damage found in Roche's remains, It would take a sustained phaser discharge of at least 30 to 40 seconds. That doesn't sound like self-defense to me.
Now, wait a minute. We haven't even established this phaser as the murder weapon yet. And even at level 10, I don't see how it could have done the damage medical evidence says it did. A phase disruptor like a Klingon weapon, maybe.
Look, we're not here to make accusations. We're trying to find out what happened. Commander Morog is due here in 2 hours. Let's see what he has to say.
Fine. And in the meantime, I'd like to go back down to the station and see if I can access Roach's personal logs again.
Good idea.
Thank you guys for listening through that audio clip. And now we're going to go to final thoughts and ratings. If you're on YouTube, you can click in the upper right-hand corner of the video. It brings you to a poll function, and you can vote on what you think on our scale of 1 to 5 you're going to give this episode. Modi, before I let you go first with this, good or bad title for this one?
It's not the worst we've ever seen. It doesn't denote anything when you hear the title. It doesn't tell you anything about the episode, except you think there's going to be a woman named Aquiel. Had they written this better, it might be a good title, maybe? Because she's not the most interesting thing going on. Had she been some type of manipulative thing that's like, you know, convincing Geordi to help her out and is tricking him or something like that, where she's actually more of a focus here.
Yep.
It has some agency of some kind, then maybe. But it seems like more things are just happening to her than she's actually doing. So it doesn't seem like she deserves a title necessarily.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of perfectly encapsulates the episode because it sounds mysterious and intriguing, and eventually mm-hmm. it just doesn't mean anything. There's like no right. reason for it to be called that.
In the spirit of red herrings, why don't they just call it "It's Not the Dog"?
Right. Yeah.
And then when it is the dog, you're like, "Oh, they got me."
It was a well crafted episode. How we got from you?
That's the entire episode. Basically, is the title should be "It's Not the Dog." And then just watch the episode. That's basically it. That's all you need to know.
I found her name to be mildly distracting. Her name is like Aquiel yeah. Unari, and I was like, why is her name so exotic sounding? Is it distracting me from the murder that she did? No, I guess not.
And then the characters call her different things. Like Geordi calls her Aquiel, and everyone else calls her Unari. And you're like, okay, this is not like you're not saving any syllables either way. So it's a little tough for me.
Yeah, I think it's a sound. It sounds much better of a title than I think it actually ends up. But I do like the idea of the title outside of that. So, what are you going to give this guy on our scale of 1 to 5?
I think there's 40% of a good episode here, so I'm going to give it a 2.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think that the first act, I was like, oh man, this is a good 4. This is I can just feel it. This is Jesus, Geordi's trying to get in a relationship. Oh, it's a 3. Oh Jesus, oh, it's a coalescent organism. What the hell is that? Oh, it's a dog. All right, it's a 2. It just kept getting a little bit worse.
It's a point off per act, basically.
It basically was, yeah, or like a half point or something. I think I'm going to settle on a 2 because I agree. I don't think it's 40%. I think there's like a quarter of a good episode here, and it's all the mystery stuff that they do up until the fact that they reveal it's a shapeshifter or that it's a dog, I think, is probably the worst aspect of that. Yeah, I'll give it a solid 2 because it had potential. It just didn't amount to anything. Didn't amount to a hill of beans, unfortunately. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the content, you're on YouTube, like in the comments. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating review helps get the show out there. You can go to patreon.com/thepenskypodcast if you enjoy it. Get some exclusive content by donating a couple bucks a month. You can go to facebook.com/thepenskypodcast and leave a like and a comment there. All that is very helpful to me. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it greatly. Modi, thanks for coming on and talking to Aquiel.
No problem.
And you're going to be back with Face of the Enemy right after this one.
Nice.
That'll be interesting. Yeah. We'll take it from there. So, guys, we will see you in a couple days.